My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. We hope you'll stay tuned. We talked with former managing editor of the Progressive magazine, Sam Day, about the magazine's publication of a story entitled The H-Bomb Secret, Secrets in General, Nuclear Weapons, the Chinese, and Mordecai Vanunu.
The government found out about it ahead of time, and they stopped us legally from publishing the story. We were held up for 6 months, but then the government withdrew from the case, and we published the story, and it was quite obvious that the material came from open public sources. And it was an important case, Mike, because it bears light on all the baloney we're hearing now about the Chinese supposedly stealing secrets from the American nuclear weapons lab at Los Alamos. Is simply not the case. I mean, there are no secrets there to be stolen. The Chinese are as fully capable of making nuclear weapons as we are. They've been making them for 35 years. They're just as smart as we are, and it's arrogance to say that somehow we've got secrets that the Chinese are not able to figure out.
So what I'm hearing you say is that, I mean, at the Progressive, you all published an article entitled The H-Bomb Secret 20 years ago. You were able to get all of this information from public sources then.
Exactly, yes. And that's even more the case now.
Talk, if you will, about why it's even more the case now.
Well, because of the Internet, and that's greatly increased the amount of data and concepts and ideas that are open to the public, much more than was the case 20 years ago when the Internet was just kind of a little tiny baby, so that any country can do it. I mean, all you need is a lot of money. You need billions and billions of dollars, and you need a relatively sophisticated scientific establishment. The Chinese have both. It puzzles me why the Clinton administration is knuckling under to what is transparently a political move on the part of people to make it look like he's not minding the store in Los Alamos. And I think that he is making a big mistake by not calling this nonsensical notion the nonsense that it is, because secrets are not what make bombs. It's the money and the determination.
Well, you bring up several very, very interesting points, and let me remind the listeners that we're talking with Sam Day, who is former managing editor at the Progressive magazine, and talking about when the Progressive published an article entitled The H-Bomb Secret, deliberately to challenge the U.S. government and the whole notion of secrecy. Mr. Day, you bring up so many points. I mean, one, I guess, that I'd like to go to is that there really is almost sort of a racist element in this, that somehow or another, you know, these Chinese people couldn't possibly have come up with this stuff on their own. They had to steal it from us because we're so much brighter and better. I mean, I'm hearing you say that in the statements you're making. I mean, is that accurate on my part?
It's quite accurate, and we saw it happen after the end of World War II. When the Russians duplicated our development of the atomic bomb in only 4 years, which was far, far shorter time than our experts had supposed. And so we cooked up this notion that they got it from spies, the Rosenbergs and other spies, which was total nonsense. They got it because there was no secret that was forbidden for them to find. And as a result, we started hunting up scapegoats in the Atomic Energy Commission, and then in the State Department, and really it provided a seedbed of the whole McCarthy era, where the people thought that we were being betrayed by traitors from inside, whether they be in the Atomic Energy Establishment or whether they be in the State Department. And it just led to the whole horror of the 1950s and 60s. And I think that we may be headed for that again, simply because Clinton is not standing up to this rather brazen assault on free inquiry and freedom of expression.
I'd like to move to that topic in just a minute. We had Robert Meeropol on this program a couple of years ago, who was the youngest son of Ethel and Julius Rosenberg, talking about, you know, what all of that was like for him, even though he was quite young at the time. You're talking about the Clinton administration knuckling under, and certainly, I mean, it seems that we've had more of that in the last day, with now there's been this edict about people will be forced to take lie detector tests and all of that. Can you talk a little bit more? You know, you've used the phrase brazen attack at least once, if not twice. Talk a little bit more about that, if you will.
Well, the right-wing Republicans who hate Clinton have found what they feel is a vulnerable point, namely that secret information is leaking to the Chinese because of lax security arrangements at Los Alamos and other nuclear weapons labs. And so they're on the basis of something that is totally erroneous, they're boring in and accusing the Clinton administration of allowing secrets to go to the enemy. Well, rather than challenging the very presumptions that underlie these charges, namely that there are any secrets, Clinton is saying, "Well, we will shape up and we will clean up the mess." I mean, the administration actually uses that term at Los Alamos, and we will have security checks and screening and make sure that it doesn't happen again, which is really the wrong way to go, because it helps continue to delude the public into thinking that there are secrets, that there are espionage agents at work. It helps feed the frenzy of anti-Chinese xenophobia that seems to be building up in the country. And all because Clinton is trying to protect his ass in the wrong way.
Well, I think you said that pretty well straightforwardly. We're talking with Sam Day, former managing editor at the Progressive magazine. Mr. Day, let me ask you, because a question came to my mind when you were talking about this sort of Chinese bashing that's going on. I always notice that a lot of these folks, you know, keep talking about the communist Chinese, or as Rush Limbaugh calls them, the Chi-coms. And the leadership of China doesn't seem all that communist to me. But
I'd call them the capitalist Chinese.
Well, right, yeah. You know, and the fact of the matter is, I mean, they're doing business with almost every gigantic corporation on the face of the earth. And I guess that troubles me. But it also seems that there is a real fear, if you will, that the Chinese are emerging as possibly the one real challenge to U.S. domination of the planet, and that the seeds of trying to undercut and demonize them are happening now, and perhaps, you know, just in order to create a new Cold War, so, you know, that way there's a really good excuse for arming and increasing military spending. Can I get your thoughts on those topics?
I think you have it just about right there, Mike. I think that there are, I suppose, natural public fears about having a big enemy that's got a much bigger population than ours and might somehow be stronger than the United States. I think those are very irrational fears, but they are there among a lot of people. And I think folks who have an interest in building up the nuclear weapons establishment and reigniting a Cold War, which will give them almost unlimited access to public funds, are feeding that fear and doing it through such stratagems as trying to make it look like the Chinese are stealing our vital secrets. I think that's what's happening, and it's going to be at great public loss, because it will mean that once again it'll be open season on the public treasury. Not that it isn't already that way, but it'll be even worse. And a lot of people are going to make a lot of money off this build-up of nuclear weapons and submarines and planes and everything else. So I think we're having the wool pulled over our eyes by large corporate and bureaucratic forces that know very well what they're doing.
Well, it seems that way to me, too, because, you know, what I'm thinking about it is that much of the smoke, if you will, that is being blown regarding this issue, you know, talks about O'Clinton and, you know, Chinese political campaign contributions and all of that. But, I mean, as I understand it, how government works, and primarily how the Clinton administration seems to work, that, I mean, Clinton is just simply doing what, you know, big campaign contributors, not just the Chinese, want him to do, which is to help allow these big corporations, whether it be L'Oreal, I may be pronouncing that wrong, or whatever, you know, that they want trade liberalized where they can make profit by tapping into the Chinese market. And, you know, Clinton isn't, you know, helping to get trade regulations restructured because he's a big fan of the Chinese. I mean, does that make sense? Because, you know, they, I mean, it's like, you know, these big corporations want to do business with the Chinese because they see a big profit center there.
Yes.
And I find it hard to understand why the Republicans are turning around and trying to be critical of Clinton when he seems to be serving traditional Republican constituencies better than the Republicans have done.
Well, I think it's just opportunism on their part. Yeah, they should certainly understand that Clinton is probably one of the best Republican presidents we ever had from the point of view of serving business interests. But I think they're not all that rational. They don't like the guy because what they perceive falsely to be a liberal streak in him, and they just kind of go after him, even though it's essentially against Republican interests to stop Clinton from building up better business for the for U.S. capital in China.
And certainly it seems on many levels that this latest attack on Clinton is just a continuation of all the other you know, would-be scandals that people like Richard Mellon-Scaife and Chris Ruddy and others have put forth in the press. I mean, I'm hearing you say that.
Yeah, well, and it's not as though Clinton is should not be attacked. But
right.
I mean, he's being attacked for the very wrong reasons. I mean, he ought to be, I think, impeached for his role in bombing the Serbia and leading the attack on that country. There are plenty of other reasons to be angry at Clinton and to feel he's done a very, very bad job for the country, but certainly not in the area of protecting nuclear secrets. In fact, Mike, the whole discussion of Chinese spying diverts us from what is the real problem at Los Alamos, and the real problem in the Clinton administration is that they're still going hell-bent to build more nuclear weapons at a time when we should be getting out of the whole business of building weapons that have no purpose other than to possibly blow up the earth.
Well, and that's a tremendously good point that you bring up, because it seems to me that, you know, one way that politicians justify these huge expenditures on new weapon systems is they say, well, you know, we have to stay ahead of our enemies, but yet it's these same defense contractors or their proxies that sell the last generation of the weapons to our so-called friends who later are our so-called enemies, and then we have to build and buy new stuff to stay ahead of the people who used to be our friends. And
yeah,
I mean, I'm hearing
this. It really is.
Yeah,
and the public is greatly disturbed by this kind of hanky-panky.
This is Full Logic Reverse. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. Stay tuned for contact and ordering information at the end of the program. We're talking with Sam Day, former managing editor of the Progressive magazine. Mr. Day, one of the questions, of course, that I think we need to get to, and that is the issue of nuclear proliferation. And certainly we do have other countries who are building and building stockpiles of nuclear weapons. We've certainly heard about India and Pakistan. But a country whose nuclear weapon stockpile that doesn't get talked about very much is that of Israel's, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Talk, if you will, about the situation regarding nuclear weapons in Israel, and then perhaps we can talk about Mordechai Vanu.
Okay. Israel has had a very substantial nuclear weapons program now since the late 1960s, more than 30 years. And they have a stockpile of probably somewhere between 200 or 300 warheads of advanced design, not just primitive old Hiroshima-type atomic bombs, but they've got fusion weapons and extremely accurate, extremely versatile nuclear weapons, capable not only of blowing up the whole Middle East, including Israel, but really reaching thousands of miles beyond the Middle East. One reason we know that is because a very courageous guy who worked for Israel's nuclear weapons program for about 10 years and then had a fit of conscience and left the program, had the courage to tell about Israel's nuclear weapons to a British newspaper some 13 years ago. His name is Mordechai Vanunu, and his story, published in the London Sunday Times, revealed not really any technical secrets, but it revealed that Israel had a really vast nuclear weapons program, in fact, as big as Britain's. And that was terribly embarrassing to the Israelis. And so they sent a hit squad to Europe and kidnapped him, brought him back to Israel, and held a kangaroo court for him, convicted him of treason and espionage, and he's been in prison for the last 13 years. And there's an international effort now to try to get him out of prison and also to try to help the Israelis be a little bit more understanding of the huge nuclear weapons program that they have. I mean, the Israeli people don't really know anything about it in detail. It's never been discussed in the Knesset. There's strict press censorship of the program, and Vanunu thinks that the Israeli people ought to know what's being done behind their back, because it threatens the survival of Israel, simply because a nuclear war in the Middle East would just the fallout from the bombs would pretty much decimate the Israeli population. And it's there again sort of the question of secrecy. Now, the government says that he deserves this extreme punishment because he leaked secrets and thereby endangered Israel from its enemies in the Middle East. I mean, it's just hogwash, just as the charges of Chinese espionage now are hogwash. There are no secrets in Israel that can't be duplicated by Iraq or Iran or Pakistan or any other Middle Eastern country. Its secrecy is being used as a smokescreen behind which the government hides, whether it be in Israel or the United States, in order to keep the public, keep the press from poking its nose into what's going on in these nuclear weapons programs. So the point, Mike, is that Vanunu is really a hero, should be seen as a hero, whose example should be followed by other scientists, both in Israel, the United States, and elsewhere.
We're talking with Sam Day, former managing editor of the Progressive magazine. We're talking about nuclear weapons, espionage, and Mordechai Vanunu, who is being held in an Israeli prison as a result of attempting to inform both the Israelis and the rest of the world about Israel's nuclear weapons manufacturing and stockpiling. Mr. Day, let me ask you, because I'm thinking about a couple of things, and one is, of course, that we do have all of this heat being thrown around about, oh, the Chinese, and they, you know, they may or may not have stolen, you know, nuclear weapon technology, and they may or may not have weapons pointed at the United States. But yet, none of these people that I have heard, none of these politicians that are so concerned about nuclear weapons and all of that, ever bring up the fact that Israel has such a sizable stock of nuclear weapons. It's not just discussed not in Israel. It's not discussed here either.
That's correct, yes.
Talk, if you will, about your perceptions of why that is.
Well, the government of the United States has been a protector of Israel ever since the founding of the Israeli state back in 1948. 48, and it protects Israel from any kind of diplomatic embarrassment. We give a huge annual subsidy to the Israelis, more than to any other country in the world. And there has long been a special relationship between the government of our government and the Israeli government, just as there is sort of a special relationship between Britain and the United States. It's based, you know, on cultural affinity and the fact that we have a large and influential Jewish population in the United States, just like an even larger and more influential Anglo-Saxon lobby in the United States. It's just sort of natural politics. Some of it is based on guilt feelings, particularly among Democrats, over the failure of the United States to come to the rescue of Jews back in the 1930s, before the Holocaust. And we certainly should have done that. I mean, we had a very, very contemptible attitude of turning our eyes in the other direction, not doing anything to prevent the Holocaust. A lot of Democrats and others feel guilty over that, and they sort of given Israel now a carte blanche to do whatever they want, just to sort of make up for what we failed to do in the 1930s. And the Israeli government, which is, you know, like any other government, it's looking out for its own, takes scandalous advantage of that guilt that we have over the Holocaust. And they use the Holocaust as a cover, an excuse for doing whatever the hell they want to do, whether it's building nuclear weapons or breaking the bones of Palestinian people working for independence. We just, you know, we need to sever those two things. What happened in the 30s happened in the 30s, but doesn't excuse what's happening now. And we need to call the Israelis to account for what they're doing. They're threatening the world, just as we ourselves are also threatening it through our own massive addiction to nuclear weapons. I mean, it's not like we have any high moral ground in this area.
Well, there are two things that come to my mind when you're speaking about the situation from your perspective. One of them being, of course, that the United States government has discovered that Israeli spies have been spying on the United States.
Sure.
But of course we haven't had this huge outpouring of, oh, espionage or any of that. It's just sort of like, well, you know, they did that and they shouldn't have and let's forget it. But,
yeah.
You know, when it's applied to the Chinese, then of course it's this huge, big deal. And
Right. The
other thing, and I'd like, if you could, to speak to it, is that, you know, it seems to me that probably people in every area of the world, at least people who have the ability to access information and pay attention to that information, realize that the United States carries out its foreign policy in a very duplicitous and prejudiced manner. I mean, I don't see how the U.S. can claim to be a moral leader of the world when it's blatantly engaging in duplicitous, you know, favorative policies that, you know, are bald-faced lies.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the late I.F. Stone, who was one of the best journalists to come down the pike, said that all governments lie. They just sort of do it habitually, and we shouldn't be surprised. We should just treat with skepticism everything and anything that governments say. And I think that's generally true. I mean, governments are self-serving, just like corporations are. But, you know, this is the only government we've got, and we've got to try to at least make sure that they're being challenged, and we must never take anything for granted. And I think, you know, in certain areas we do challenge the government. After all, Nixon was challenged so badly that he had to resign. But generally speaking, Mike, in areas of national security, we simply don't do it, because all the government has to say is it's a national security matter, and public skepticism goes out the window. In fact, the courts, up to the Supreme Court, are notoriously laggard in challenging the government on national security claims, and we just have to be perpetually suspicious of that defense. And in national security areas, above all, I think that we should be we should be skeptical, we should be defiant, and we should insist that the government come clean with the facts.
You are involved with an effort to gain freedom for Mordecai Vanunu, correct?
Yes.
Can you give our listeners any contact information that you would like to regarding that, and then also perhaps share a final thought with us?
Yes. We really would like to hear from people who are interested in this case. It's a very important case. And we don't have an email, unfortunately, but address is Vanunu Campaign, 2206 Fox, F-O-X Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, that's W-I, 53711. That's the mailing address. And then we also have a telephone and a fax number. They're both the same. And it is as follows, area code 608-257-4764. And we can provide a free package of information about the Vanunu case and why it's important. If you will give us a call or write us a letter, we'd be glad to send you information without any charge at all.
Can you give the phone number one more time, please?
Yeah, the phone number, which is also the fax number, is area code 608-257-4764.
And a brief final thought for our audience, if you have one?
Yes. Never believe that there are secrets, whether it's in science or nuclear weapons or in education or whatever, that need to be kept from the public. The public has the right to know about everything going on in government, national, state, and local, and that we should insist on being informed. And we shouldn't take the information at face value. We should challenge it and probe and make sure we're getting a true story and the whole story. That's a lesson, of course, especially for the media. Every ordinary citizens can't spend full time in doing investigative reporting, but the media should. And the media is scandalously lax in this area of national security, foreign policy, anything having to do with that area. So my advice as an old-time media person, as well as a political activist, is to say that it's a never-ending battle to get the information that we need to have for human survival, because there are great issues now that are being decided in secret by the government, issues that could lead to the very end of civilization as we know it. So for the sake of our children, if not ourselves, we need to be on the alert, be skeptical, and ask tough questions.
Well, I'll say amen to that. And we've been speaking with former managing editor of the Progressive magazine and old-time media person and activist Sam Day. Mr. Day, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you, and good luck to the program and to your listeners.
Great. That's it for this edition of the program. I'm your host, Mike Thornton. If you're interested in copies of this or other Full Logic Reverse programs, you can contact us via email at flr@jps.net or by telephone at area code 530-265-9462. Full Logic Reverse is produced at FLR Studios in Nevada City, California, USA. Our music is by Rick Payne. We hope you'll join us next time for another edition of Full Logic Reverse.